Wow.
That's okay.
Well, I can't think of anything better to do after hearing those wonderful manifestations than to get into God's Word, huh? And what a message we have in God's Word. You know, we could go to so many locations, so many sources of information, so many books, so many stories, movies, religions. I mean, we could go on and on. There's millions and millions of sources of information out there. But there is one bit of information that makes all the difference in the world. And that's the message that God gave us. That God wants us to know and understand so that we can live our freedom in Christ. And that's what I've titled this sharing for you this morning, Living Your Freedom in Christ. Now there's a verse very familiar to many people, John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the greatest love story, of course, is wrapped up in that, isn't it? And that's the story that makes all the difference in the world. There's no other story. Just like I was saying, there's no other movie, no other book, no other author that's written anything that comes close to the love story of what God did through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to share that story a little bit with you this morning. And where does God in his wonderful word share that? There's 66 books in the Bible. So where does God share the freedom that we have in Christ to live this wonderful love story lifestyle that God has made available through his Son? Well, if we know a little bit about God's word and how it's put together and organized, we're going to go to Romans, aren't we? Romans is that great doctrinal epistle written to the believers. So I'd like for you to go to the book of Romans. And, you know, all scripture is God-breathed, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness. You know, right living, God's word. And so, you know, I hope you understand what's going on here this morning. I mean, we are gathered, a small group here, and you folks on the party line here on the conference call, we're dealing with the utmost, highest, greatest magnitude of information ever, ever given to mankind. That's what we're going to be looking at. Nothing comes close to it. So I'm in awe at this. I mean, I've been in the Word for too many years to admit, and I still stand in awe at how great God's Word is. It's just so fantastic, so amazing. It just blows my mind. And so, you know, about 25 years ago, a man of God came to San Diego to teach God's Word. And many years earlier, in 1973, that same man was on the boardwalk in Pacific Beach trying to score some dope. You know what I'm talking about, dope? Drugs, right? And up comes a young man who was a Marine, and instead of sharing with him any kind of drugs, he shared the good news, the gospel, God's word. And this is where Ken Petty first heard the word of God that really touched his heart. He had a church background, but it just didn't make sense to him. And now something touched his heart when this young man shared what he did with him. And from that time, he has dedicated his life to working the word of God and teaching the word of God. And it was in the later 90s that he came back. You know, he took a class called Power for Abundant Living back in 73, left the area and did all kinds of wonderful things, growing in the Word, ministering the Word, teaching the Word. And in the later 90s, he came back to San Diego And the one thing he taught, the first thing he taught, was this wonderful book of Romans and what its message was. And I'd like to share with you the chapter one, the opening comments in the book that he wrote on the book of Romans. And he titles it Romans, the Foundation of Freedom. Man's passionate longing for freedom and his quest to find that freedom resonates throughout history. His drive to be free from political tyranny has brought down governments and founded new nations. His search for freedom from religious tolerance and racial discrimination has led to great social movements with constitutional changes and the enactment of new laws. Seeking to be free from geographical restraints, he has torn down wilderness areas and produced innovative forms of transportation that had shortly before been mere dreams. His longing to be emancipated from financial and economic shackles has brought about new industries and opened global markets. The early American patriots recognized the value of liberty. One of the most profound documents in the history of mankind proclaimed liberty as the inalienable right of mankind. Now let me share with you, I'm going to veer off from quoting this book to share with you what's inalienable. What does that mean? And in the dictionary it says that cannot be transferred to another, can't be changed. It's it. It's the truth. It's inalienable. Can't be changed. Can't be transferred. So this is what he's referring to here. Proclaim liberty as the inalienable right of mankind. In other words, God gave this right to mankind and it can't be changed. More than 200 years ago, the Declaration of Independence claimed, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Another famous declaration from this era still resounds today. Give me liberty or give me death. Many centuries before Patrick Henry spoke those words, and before the Declaration of Independence was penned, one man came with a message of freedom, but not the freedom born of political, social, economic, or geographical change. This man was known to many as a lowly carpenter from Nazareth, a small village in Galilee, a province under the tight grip of Roman domination. Yet, he made the most momentous declaration of independence in all human history, speaking of the freedom that comes by the knowledge of the truth. In John 8:31, and here's verse 32, but verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. His message was misunderstood by the religious leaders of his nation, who failed to recognize the slavery in their own lives. And then he goes on a little later on, and he says, this declaration came from a man who was not merely a Galilean carpenter, he was the Son of God. The one who would bring true freedom to men. Much has changed in the centuries following this pronouncement. The mighty Roman Empire collapsed long ago. Slavery has been abolished throughout much of the world. More and more nations have experienced the benefits of economic prosperity with higher standards of living and increased free time for workers. Travel from one country to another and even from continent to continent has become routine. In many ways, the restraints of men have been loosened or abolished. But man's desperate need to be free from sin and the power of the truth to deliver man has not changed in all of those centuries. So let's go to that phenomenal book, the book of Romans, okay? Romans 1:1. Let's go to the beginning here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And this starts the great freedom story, the great truth that man could truly be set free, that he could have the freedom to fellowship with God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that it wouldn't be their righteousness, but it would be God's righteousness. Pretty amazing. Let's go to verse 18. I'm sorry, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Man. Here man is forever, you know, man's forever trying to justify himself. Man is trying to be free on his own basis, under his own terms. And it just never, ever works, does it? You know, we still live in a world where millions of people are still enslaved and oppressed, that don't really know their God, that they don't know that they can be free in Christ, that they can have a relationship with God Almighty. It kind of blows my mind. You know, most of us have had the exposure of this wonderful message of God's Word. We've been spoiled. We've been spoiled. Because you look out in this world and you see the depravity of man. You see how low man has gotten. But man, we've got a story. We have a message. We have something that we can share. A freedom, a liberty that can really, truly set people free. Wow. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Wow. Not even one righteous? Now this is talking about man's efforts to be right before God. And did anybody ever get that far? No, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, you know, you think, well, there's people out there doing good things, but not like what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, to obtain a righteous living that cannot be compared to what man could even dream to be. But Jesus Christ made it available. So, if man can't do it, who did it? It took one man, Jesus Christ, to accomplish it, right? So, let's go to 3:20. Chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, But now, the righteousness of who? God. God's righteousness without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You can go in the Old Testament and see the great prophecies, what God was going to do through his Son. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the payment that is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord and Savior paid the price. We had no business trying to pay that price. Couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ did, didn't he? He was the only one who could do it, and he did it for you and I. And this is the ultimate story of our life, is what he did for us. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, if this isn't the lifestyle of all time, I can't think of anything greater. My golly. Wow. This is what's been made available for you and I. This is the freedom we have in Christ that we can live and experience. Unbelievable. But it's believable. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, who was that man that messed it up in the beginning? Oh, Adam. So one guy screwed it up for everybody. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You want to reign in life? You ain't going to do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it with anybody else except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. As a result of what he did, we can reign in life. It's amazing. What an opportunity we have to walk a new way in life. We're not done yet. A lot here in Romans. Romans 6, just point out a few more verses here. Romans 6, 4. This is the latter part of the verse I'm going to share with you. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How did Jesus Christ walk after he was raised from the dead? He was in a whole new spiritual body, right? Man, oh man. How is it that we could walk in newness of life? It's like if we were raised from the dead. If we died and got raised up from the dead, would you be a little bit happy? You'd be a little excited, wouldn't you? Heck yeah, a new lease on life. Eternal lease on life. Amazing, just amazing. You know, God's word exhorts us to walk on a level only Jesus Christ could reach. And what a privilege and opportunity we have. All right, Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And how would we yield ourselves unto God? As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, our members are for the use of the righteousness of God. We are right before God. That's how he sees us. And don't belittle yourself. So many times we put ourselves down, don't we? You know, the world tries to put us down. I get that. But we should never put ourselves down. We know what the Word says. We know who we are in Christ. We know the story, and it's a great story. And we're at the passion of that story. You know, he did it all because he had you and me in mind, didn't he? He wanted us to experience his righteousness. Is there anything better? Anything greater? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You know, it says in God's Word in Corinthians, we are a new creation in Christ. And this new creation in Christ, we're a whole new being. And it's not like we have to mess with this old person, because we are a new creation. Work with that which is new in you. So many times we work at the old man, try to fix him up. He ain't worth fixing. The Christ in us is worth living for. That's where we want to center our lifestyle. So, I'm closing out here. I'm going to let you read the rest of the book of Romans, okay? But I think I've shared with you some things for you to think about. I hope so. Because this is the greatest story ever told. And you're still living it today. You and I are living this great freedom in Christ. We've got the privilege to hold it forth. The manifestations, God encouraged us to hold forth this wonderful truth. So, we all have a part in the family of God, don't we? We all do different things that we can do that God's called us to do. And we want to do that. We want to just be our best for him. We want to be doers of the word, not hearers only, right? So this is what I'm going to do, all right? I'm going to play a song for you. And actually, Jeffrey and Shanti are going to play the song. I'm not going to play it. But we're going to play a song. And it's an instrumental. And I want you to take the minutes as you listen to this music, and I want you just to think about our Heavenly Father. I want you to think about who you are in Christ. I want you to talk to your Father this morning, realizing what we looked at today, okay? And have a wonderful conversation with him. And not only talk to him, but listen to him and see what he might have for you to say. And then we'll close out with prayer and move on our way. So listen and talk with your Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful lifestyle that you've allowed us to live and to partake in, that we can have an eternal relationship with you, have your righteousness, that we can live with great freedom in our hearts because of what your Son, our Lord and Savior, has done for us. And I pray, Father, for each and every person that's a part of this fellowship, that they can recognize your love, your grace in our lives, and that we can just rise up to the best of our ability and be our best for you. You certainly have been your best for us. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.